We're going to talk about a beautiful word called transformation. We're going to begin to share the way I feel that transformation is to take place in our life. You know, it's such an incredible word, an incredible thing that God did for us. But the problem with the word transformation is if you ask 1,000 preachers what transformation means for the believer, you probably come up with 999 different ideas. And it's one of the reasons I think that the church is separated in many different ideas about how to serve God. It's because it's very hard to nail down what transformation really is until you can really see it in the Word. So I'm going to share my version, my imagery that the Lord's given to me about transformation, not to discredit any other 999 opinions, but to just share the way that the Lord showed me for my walk, and hopefully you'll see it the same thing in your walk when you see it in the Word, because it is so incredibly powerful what God has done for us. If you think about the miracle of salvation, it's really the miracle of miracles that God found you in a species called the human race. And that was a fallen species. That was a species that were destined to go to hell. There was no saving them. God couldn't fix them. God couldn't rescue the human race. So he had to create a whole new family, a different species, through Jesus called the children of God. And then invite us to be born out of the first species, the human race, and born into the new species of children of God. So in other words, God couldn't rescue the human race. He had to, or fix it. He had to bring a new path for us to be actually born into a different species. It's an amazing miracle. There's nothing on earth that we can comprehend or try to figure out how he did it. I want you to understand that God's always been and always will be. He has got no beginning and no end. That's hard for our mind to really comprehend, our natural mind. However, it's the same with transformation. To see the full picture of transformation, it's really difficult to comprehend the miracle that God found us in a dark species, a species full of sin and darkness by nature. And then in the end, we will be standing on the new earth with the new heavens in New Jerusalem, and we'll be completely light. There'll be nothing left in us from our first birth. And that's the amazing process of salvation, the end. It's not finished yet because the scripture says that death hasn't been swallowed up in victory yet, but it will be. When the trumpet sounds, we'll receive our new eternal body, and we will no longer face death or sickness or disease or sorrow for the believers. So we want to begin to paint a picture and just share some of the amazing things about transformation, that he found you in a species that was destined for hell. And when you were born again, he inserted a new nature. And that's where many Christians struggle, is the imagery they see about transformation. I'm saved. I'm complete in him. So why am I still struggling? Why am I still battling with things? How do I overcome things? Can I just walk out what God's done for me? Or do I have to grow? And these are many things that have to be answered to understand transformation. And as you understand the transformation, I believe that it will help answer many questions you have, many struggles you have. It'll help you to acknowledge this beautiful walk you have with God. It'll allow you to believe that all things are possible on this earth for you. And it'll help you not to be discouraged when everything doesn't work out perfectly the first time. So I want to start here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, this is an incredible, beautiful, amazing scripture here. Now, it says in verse 20, Jesus tells the disciples in verse 19, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. Talking about the end of his walk on this earth, him becoming sin, going to hell, and then being resurrected from the dead into life, and then setting the pathway for us to follow into eternity with him. He was the firstborn of many brethren, not the first raised from the dead, because we know of Lazarus and we know many other in the Old Testament who were raised from the dead. So Jesus wasn't the first raised from the dead. He was the firstborn of this new family called the children of God. And through what he did, we can follow him, and where in the end we'll be like him, completely like him, in righteousness and perfection in the end. And that's where some of the struggle is. It's not right now. You're not perfect right now. You have battles and struggles and questions and desires that you have to overcome. And it's a walk of faith, a walk of believing. And when you understand transformation, you understand why you're going through things you're going through. And maybe you won't be so critical about yourself. Verse 20, at that day. So that day he's talking about is not talking about the day of the end times. Here he's talking about the day. At that day is the day you were born again. The disciples were not born again at this moment. No one on the earth was born again at this moment, because Jesus had not been glorified yet. Jesus had not died yet and been resurrected yet. So no one on the earth at this moment was born again. And Jesus says, at the day you're born again, you'll know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And why I love this verse is, you know, my daughter, she's beautiful. She looks like me. People recognize right away every time. I feel sorry for her a little bit, because often people say, you look like your dad. So, nothing more flattering for a 13-year-old to hear she looks like a 50-some-year-old man, you know. So I always tell her, just tell them that you got the prettiest parts of your dad. And see, I look just like my mom. I can stand in a room of 100 people, and you'll say, that is Edie Taylor, that's her son. And there was a time where someone had told my mom, like looking at my picture and saying, this boy looks just like you. And she said, you know, Edie, as long as that boy is alive, you'll never die. Meaning that because I look so much like her and am a lot like my mom, that she's going to be carried on by me even long down the road. And this is what I want you to see. When it says here that I'm in the Father, in you and me, and I in you, it's talking about God's in you, that people will recognize that you're a child of God because of Christ in you. The word Christian wasn't made up by the believers. It was the people in Antioch looked over at the disciples and the followers of Christ and said, you are a Christian, meaning you are Christ-like. You look like Christ. You remind me of Christ. You have the heart of Christ. You talk like Christ. And that's what the word Christian means. In our society today, it's almost become, hey, I go to church. I said the Lord's Prayer of Salvation, so I'm a Christian. The word Christian isn't supposed to be used for those who are saved and born again. It's used for those who are transformed, to where you walk like Christ, you act like Christ, you respond like Christ. I know many people who are going to heaven, believers, that I wouldn't call a Christian under that terminology. Because there's a lot of people I know who are born again, they go to church, but they don't remind me of Jesus in the way they act or the way they live. So the word Christian itself needs to stop being used for just if you go to church or you ask Jesus in your heart. It needs to be someone else needs to call you that, because they recognize Christ in you. And that is an example of transformation. That's when we live like Christ on this earth. We act like Christ, not just for a day, not just for a moment, but it's who we are. That's transformation. Now, verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, and he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me, he will be loved by my Father, and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. Now let's go up to verse 12 in chapter 14 of John. Again, our topic is transformation. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, because I go to the Father. So Jesus is telling me and telling you that the works that we can see in Scripture, and he's telling the disciples, the works that you've seen God do through me, he'll do through you as well. And whatever you ask my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So here, Jesus is telling the disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now this is more, these words here, if you love me, keep my commandments, is more about them focusing on following him into salvation. It's not necessarily meaning be holy, be perfect. That's a part of it. But really, he's saying, even though you walked with me and you've been a good disciple, and you served me and served God during this time, you're still an Old Testament saint. And unless you listen to me and follow me through salvation, then you're not going to go to heaven. That no matter what good works you did, you still have to be born again. Verse 16, and I pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So he now is talking about God the Father giving them another helper besides him. And he'll abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus is telling them that God the Father is going to send a helper, another helper, to help them to finish the course of their life, to walk with them, to teach them the way Jesus did. If you think about Jesus and the disciples, that they lived together, they walked together for 3.5 years, they ministered together, they were inseparable, they were closest of close, in each other's homes and life and business all the time. And they learned from Jesus by watching him and following him and listening to him and obeying him. And Jesus saying, I've helped you this far, but the Father is going to send you another helper to help you go the rest of the way. And I pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So you know him because right now, as an Old Testament saint, not born again, because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet, so they could not be born again. They were like the Old Testament saints. But he will be in you. So right now you know him because he walks amongst us in the miracles. You see him work with me, Jesus. But there will be a time where he will be in you. And that's a huge difference of the Holy Spirit working with you compared to him working in you. And that means that the Old Testament servants of God, Moses and Noah, that saw amazing miracles. They saw the Red Sea split in half. They survived the flood. They saw miracle after miracle. That there's something even more important to God, more special than splitting of the Red Sea, more special than the experience on Mount Sinai, more special than seeing a fire by night and a cloud by day. And that is that the Holy Spirit will then be able to come work in you, inside of you. And that's part of my discussion with transformation, is the work of transformation is so much more than just me going out and ministering to people. Because that's easy to go out and preach to people and pray for people. But the real work that the Holy Spirit wants to do is within me, so that I can become more like Christ in my who I am, and in the way I act, and the way I live, and the way I believe, that I can become a Christian that other people will say, you remind me of Jesus. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So Jesus is telling them that the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit's been around forever. He's God, just as much as Jesus and the Father is. He's God. So it's not that he was just showing up when Jesus left, it's that now they can have a different relationship with him, because they changed. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. God doesn't change. But they changed because they were born again. They became born of God. Now, being born of God means you receive a nature from Christ. You're born now of God. The struggle is that you're left with this outward body. The outward man, meaning you're not complete yet. God's not done his work yet until the trumpet sounds. But you don't have to wait until the trumpet sounds. You don't have to wait until that time to walk holy, to walk in the things of God. But to do it, you're going to have to pay a price called transformation. Transformation in itself, by definition, means it's not immediate. It didn't happen the moment you were born again. There is a transformation process, metamorphosis of our who we are into another species, that you are now born again, born as a different creature, born in a different species than who you were born the first time. The struggle is that you're still wearing the outward man, the outward body, which will fight you and pull with you. I remember, as most of us, we start off asking Jesus in our heart and saying the sinner's prayer, basically because someone said, you're going to go to hell if you don't. And so I did. And I remember it was an experience. And I remember feeling something changed, but I didn't know what changed. And so my vocabulary and the way I saw my walk with God had to do with me behaving more, acting better, trying to please God. I didn't know what was available to me, especially with the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And so, like you probably, you started out the same way. Like, hey, I'm born again. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to heaven, not hell. And because transformation hasn't been taught fully, if I can put it that way, in my view, then it has impressed many believers that really they're born again. They have Jesus in them. Now they're going to heaven. So they press forward with what they have. They press forward with trying to please God the best they can with what they have in their life, with their finances, with their doing good, choosing good thoughts, good emotions, choosing not to listen to bad emotions. And so, in essence, because it hasn't been taught fully, I believe that many in the church world today are experiencing God through their natural man, and through their emotions, and much like the Old Testament saints did, where they are walking with God, they're serving God, they're going to heaven, but they never really experience the fullness of transformation, what's available to them, because they just don't know. And I didn't know for many years. My vocabulary was, I'm changing, I'm trying my best, I'm living for God, I'm doing good. But true transformation is a work that is done on the inside. It is a fullness, a completeness of you living as the new child of God you are and not like the person you were. For instance, one day I was doing a service and I had a prayer altar call and a young man came up and he said, I'm having problems with sexual sins. And he was 16 years old and he was talking about he was tempted to play in sin in an unnatural way. And he had explained to me in that moment that his dad had abused him sexually and it imprinted in him who he was and that he was broken because he was so afraid that he was going to lose the fight that his dad lost to. And because he felt the same desires. And this is a guy that's born again, same desires. Now, if you don't understand transformation, you can't minister to this guy. Well, just stop it. I understand that is a possibility, but there's desires pulling him into something where he can really hurt people and hurt himself. So yes, as a believer, he can stop it, but why is there still an overwhelming desire to go into things that aren't even natural? And I was able to tell him, like, listen, you're not the same person you were before you were born again. You're a new creation. It's not about fixing up who you were. It's not that you come to God a mess and then you spend 20 years fixing the mess to make it act better. It may look like that from a distance, but that's not really what's happening. What's happening is you became a new creature the moment you were born again, a spiritual creature that needs to learn who you are. And from that, you grow up and you overcome the outward man. You mortify the outward man. Because the inward man, the nature is now light, the inner body is now alive, and now you can grow, but there has to be growth so you can enforce the promises of God to the outward man. And so I was able to tell him, like, look, your father from this earth, he was a horrible man. I didn't know him, but just from what he told me. But I'm glad to tell you that he's no longer your father. He's not your father anymore. Not just symbolically, but technically and legally, God is your father because you are now born again. So you don't need to look at, I need to overcome what my father has put into me. You can now look at, I need to look at what my heavenly father has put into me. Now you're still in a struggle because you're wearing the body and the natural soul, the natural mind, will, and emotions of the old man. And it still has thoughts and plans and desires that don't line up with the Word of God. And it's your job to enforce who you are onto the outward man. And this is a part of transformation. And so the victory of being able to tell him, look, you're not the same. And see, the imagery I'm trying to get across is, I was in a service and we had a young lady who was there who had struggled with drugs for many years. And she was having a good week, a good month. And in that church service, she testified about how God was helping her and was blessed. But when you have someone with drugs, sometimes they'll have a good month and they'll have a horrible year. And then they'll pop up and have a good month again or two. And sometimes it's not always, it's a struggle coming out of drugs. God bless everyone battling to overcome that. But she was in a good season. And she was testifying. She was dressed pretty. She looked clean. She looked good. Because I have been with her in moments where she wasn't clean and wasn't looking good. And so she looked really, really nice and pretty. And the Lord told me, as she was sharing with the church how God was blessing her in that moment, he spoke to my heart and he said, I did not tell the church to conform into Christianity. I did not tell my children to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And I didn't understand, but what he was telling me, Alan, was my version of transforming my life to serve God was really conforming. And it wasn't the same. It wasn't powerful as transformation. And the way he showed me was that she was dressed really pretty. She was dressed for church. She was talking nice and looking nice. And it was from her heart. She was sincere. But she had not transformed. There was Christ in her. She's born again. But there had to be a maturing and a growth in her inner man, so that she could really be that and not just try to be that. If you're trying to be something, it's not in you yet. It's not complete yet. If you're tempted for something, then the work's not complete yet. And this is the power of transformation, that you and I can walk from the moment we're born again and let God build from that moment, from the beginning, build you into the image of Christ. And you live like that. And you grow in the knowledge of God, in the spiritual man, and you grow up, and that's who you are. And then you, from that position, can fight the outward man. And that's the fight that many believers don't understand in transformation. You'll hear people say, they'll say something like, I just need less of me and more of God. Yeah, sounds good, but what do you mean by that? Less of you and more of God. You'll hear people say that I'm a drug addict, or I'm a liar if they're honest, or I'm an exaggerator, or whatever they may be going through in their life. They may try to explain, but they attribute it to them. And I could tell them, no, that's not you. The desire for sin, the desire to exaggerate, to lie, the desire to even do things in the natural world that are against the will of God, maybe not sin, but against the will of God, they come from your natural body, not from you. You are a child of God, complete in Him by the new nature. Yes, you have to grow, and yes, you have to overcome and enforce and mortify the deeds of the body, but it's not you anymore. It may seem like it, but it's not you. You are a new creature, born again. And that's the miracle of miracles, that God found a way to find you in a species that were not like Him at all, the opposite of Him, actually, sin. Even the good things of the natural man are not good enough. And so He found a way to put his hand around you, you, and protect you as he began to change things around you. Your nature changed, your inner man was transformed, quickened, and your outward man, the outward body, will be quickened one day. And when we talk about the outward body, you're going to learn in this series that the outward body is not just your fingers and your toes and your nose, but the outward body is so much more. It is the emotions of the natural man, the intellect of the natural man, and the desires of the natural man. And you'll find that in your own life, you have desires that contrary to the word of God, that God spoke to you. God said to you, I need you to go and go this direction and live here or do this. And you come up with 1,000 reasons, good reasons, why there's a better way, an easier way, a different way. Well, where are those reasonings and those opinions coming from? Why is there such a struggle? When my dog, and I have good dogs, and they're cute dogs, and we have one dog that's everyone who he knows, he loves. But if he doesn't know you, you watch out because he's not nice to you. But he never questions his intents or plans. He gets up and wants to eat, he goes eat. If he wants to go chase the squirrel, he'll go chase the squirrel. Our little puppy, we open up the window and he watches the squirrels. And I swear we have a squirrel in our backyard that taunts our dogs. Like, we'll walk up along the fence and look in the window at our dog and smile at our dog and like, come and get me, sucker, and just test him. And so my dog's just biding the time where he'll be able to catch him. He'll never be able to. He's too slow. But they do what they want to do. They are complete creatures. So they don't second guess anything. So why are you second guessing everything that you go through? Every decision, why do you second guess? Why? Because you're not complete yet. You have an outward man that's from this world, and an inward man that's from heaven, from heavenly world, from spiritual world, from God's world. You are as righteous as you're ever going to be because you have the nature of Christ in you. And your inner man's alive, meaning you have access to intellect that's from the spiritual realm. That is incredible that God has been waiting to share his deep secrets with his children, but couldn't because they were not born again. They were a creature of darkness. But now that you're born again, he can. You know, we had one puppy, and she thought I was her dad. Her name was Maddie, and we loved Maddie. And she was a little conniving little dog, and she would try to work an angle one way or another. One time I got up in the morning, I heard a noise at 3 in the morning, like a shifting. And I thought, what is that noise? And I went up and walked through the living room and went to the bathroom. And when I came back, I saw our trash bag had been moved from the kitchen area all the way to the living room. And when I got back to my room, there was my dog looking nice and sweet and innocent. Well, I had caught her unknowingly trying to break into the trash bag. And when I got up, she was like all of a sudden really sweet and really nice and trying to like win me over. And I realized, oh, you were up to no good and you got caught. You know, I love that little mutt. She loved me. And before we had kids, our friends would tell us, the way you guys talk about your dog, me and Christy, you need to have kids, because we were treating them like our children. And as much as I loved little Maddie, the dog, and as much as she loved me, we were two different creatures. We were two different species. She's a dog. Maddie didn't know she was a dog. She thought she was our child. And one day, we were visiting Christy's family in Paris, Tennessee. And one of Christy's cousins had a newborn baby. And I remember all the girls were talking, and Christy grabbed the little baby and held the baby in her arms. And Maddie got jealous. And Maddie tried to jump on Christy's lap and sit on the baby and got pushed away. Get away, Maddie. Stop it. And Maddie landed on the floor and was like, what's going on here? You're my mom. And Maddie jumped on her lap again and got pushed down. Said, Maddie, get away. Because the baby, you know, always trumps over the dog. And Maddie tried a third time. It got pushed away. And finally, Maddie jumped on the couch and walked up behind Christy and walked past her on the couch, looking down, and then turned her head the other way as if she was innocent, like walked with her head turning the other way past Christy and jumped back down and got shooed away again. And I seen it in her eyes, and I made an announcement to the family at that time. I said, I have an announcement to make. It's a very sad day in the Taylor household. And everyone looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, Maddie has just discovered something and has changed her world forever. And they all looked at Maddie, and she was sitting there on the floor looking at Christy and the baby. And I said, Maddie has just discovered for the first time in her life that she's a dog and she's not our child. And she is heartbroken. And see, as much as I love Maddie, she's not my child. Even though, you know, I understand, but I loved her, but she's not my child. Our natures are different. I can't teach her ABC. I can say, Maddie, say A, or B, or come on, Maddie, say C, or she can't do it because she doesn't have the ability, the intellect, but she has a personality like a child. She's sneaky, and you can tell when she's happy and when she's being sneaky. You can tell when she's mad or jealous. I mean, just same emotions as a person. But she's not a person. She's a dog. So I can try to teach her how to be my daughter, but she's never going to be my daughter. Only I can teach my real daughter, Ava, ABC, because she has the capacity to know what I'm teaching her and understanding it. My dog will never understand it as much as she wants to. It's not about love. I love her. She loved me. She's passed on by now. But she loved me and I loved her. But she's not my daughter. She can't be. And I could try to make her my daughter. I can dress her up. I can tell her to act a certain way. But her nature is going to take over. Maddie, little girls, they don't chase cats up trees. Understand that, Maddie. So no, if you're going to be my daughter, no more chasing cats. And Maddie will say, okay, I want to be your daughter. I want to be your daughter. And the first cat that walks by, she would say, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't do it. Just don't do it. Ignore it. You're going to be the daughter. And then eventually her nature would take over and she'd chase that cat up a tree. Maddie, little girls don't bark at the mailman. Sure enough, she'd try her best, but her nature would take over because she is a different species. Well, that's how you were, and that's how the disciples were then when Jesus talked to them in John 14. They were a different species than God. They did not have the nature of God. They were different from God. And as much as they loved God and God loved them, he couldn't teach them the ABCs of his language. He couldn't teach them how to communicate and love and walk as his children because they weren't his children. They were a different species, a fallen race called the human race. And they were as different as God as I am from my dog, Maddie. I loved Maddie, but she was always going to be a dog. But the miracle of miracles is that God was able, through Jesus, to say these words, at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's a miracle of miracles that God was able. I don't know how we'll ever understand it. To insert a new nature in you that came from him, from Jesus, technically. But through the Father, it came from Jesus. You received the nature of Christ in you, a new nature, making you a child of God, making you and I a true child of God, born of God. And that is a new birth. It's not a fixing. It's not a changing. It's not a shining up, making you better than the other humans. Even the best trained dog will always be a dog, no matter how trained it is. It can never be a child of a human. It can never truly understand the things from a human. Well, that's how it was with us as humans born in this world serving God before Jesus came into our life. Was we could attempt to, we can always love God and he'd love us back, but he couldn't teach us who we are. He couldn't share his wisdom, his intellect, his humor with you. his standards with you because you were not of him. You were a different species. But when you were born again, you received a new nature. And that new nature brought to life your inner man. Your inner man now, through your inner man, your inner body, your spiritual body. You can now understand the deep things of God. God can now begin to teach you like a child the ABCs from him to you directly, because you can grow and understand that and learn that. That's the wisdom of God. That's the intellect of God. That's knowledge that comes from heaven. But you're still wearing the natural man, the natural mind, will, and emotions, the natural body that wants to be a child of God, just like Maddie does, but will never be a child of God. It wants to understand the things of God, but it can't. It wants to serve God, but it can't. It can't please God because it is of this world. Now, God had to leave us with this natural body until the trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, he'll replace it, quicken it. And just like he did our new nature and our inner man, he will quicken our outer man and we'll be complete again, fully complete. But right now you're not complete, but you still can walk out all that God has for you through transformation. So many believers are serving God, they're faithful to God, but they're not investing into their inner man. They're not growing in the spiritual wisdom of God, and they're staying the same. So they learn how to serve God through their outward man. And that's why we have so much, the church of generations of powerlessness without seeing what Jesus did in our lives. And that's what's available to us. The same thing that Jesus did, we can also do. That's what's available to us, but it's not available because we want it. It's only available through transformation. And I'm going to take some time during a series here and really just share the different view and try to let you understand who you really are in Christ and what you can become in Christ. We'll go to Romans chapter 12 here. That's where we see one of the words for transformation. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So now you're wearing a body. See, that's why we have to present it as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, because we don't want to harm our body. We don't want our body to quit working. We want our body to serve God and follow instructions. But there are parts of you, that the emotions and the natural thoughts, that must be mortified. But here he says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So in other words, I am to dedicate my body and say, God, I am wearing this body. It has desires and thoughts and motives that are contrary to you. And it tells me I'm weak. You tell me I'm strong. And so I now am going to dedicate this body. I'm going to make it, force it to serve you every day, even though it doesn't want to. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world. Conforming is when you squeeze something into an image. You make it be what it's not, but it looks like that's what it is. So that's why it says don't be conformed into the world. Don't let the world... Now the world here, when we think as our modern day Christianity, we're thinking, yeah, all those drug dealers and smokers and alcoholics out there, those money grabber, worldly people, that's not what the world is. The world is even the good parts, not just the bad parts. The world cannot teach you how to be a child of God. That's like me taking my little daughter, Ava, and taking our dog, Maddie, and saying, okay, we're going to go to training school. And I take my daughter, Ava, and I place her into doggy daycare training school with Maddie. And I put them both, even the best, elitist, most expensive dog training school. I can put my little daughter in there and she will not learn to be a human child. She'll learn how to act like a dog. Well, that's when we get our information, our motivation, our direction from this world. It doesn't help you to walk as a believer. It's just shining up the outward man, conforming the outward man into the world. That's the world teaching you, conforming you. And that's the imagery that I saw. The imagery that I saw that I've been trying to articulate for 15, 20 years now was that little girl up on the service, up on the stage, giving her testimony of how God was blessing her, sincere as can be. But I knew that she wasn't, that's not who she was. That's who she wanted to be. She wanted to be the sweet Christian girl that loved God and lived holy and dedicated her life to God from her own heart every moment of every day. But she had something working in her that was contrary. For her, it was devastating drugs that would whip her around for a year at a time, and she would be whipped back and forth, and she was fighting that. Where is that fight coming from? She's born again. Does she want it? No, I don't. She didn't want to be a druggie. She didn't want to live that life. She really wanted to please God. The reason many Christians don't live holy is because they gave up trying to. They tried, they made the effort to, and they just gave up because obviously it wasn't working. Because the church hasn't done a good job of teaching transformation. They say, just act like a Christian, and that's good enough. Well, it's not good enough. The world cannot teach you how to act like a Christian. The only way you'll find that information is from your Heavenly Father. He's the only one who can teach you, or in the Holy Spirit as your helper, are the only ones who can teach you how to be a child of God. Because we don't see the transformation correctly, I believe that's why the church is doing their best to serve God, but we've ended up lowering the standards of how we're supposed to walk, lowering the standards of holiness, and even the way we experience God in worship, and that has gone so much towards appeasing the natural man's emotions in the outward body instead of from the inner man. What we call spiritual now in many churches is emotionalism. And they're experiencing God like an Old Testament saint, where really there's a beautiful, intimate walk that's available to you, spiritual to spiritual. Because when you were born again, you actually were born a new creation. And you were born of God. He took His nature and placed it in you. And now that nature brought to life your inner man, and you can learn who you are from Him. But you're still wearing an outward man that has opinions and desires and thoughts of how you should live, who you are. When you hear a voice of insecurity saying you're not good enough, where's that voice coming from? That's coming from your outward body. When you get up to go pray in the morning, and you hear this voice say, you know what, you've just been working extra hard. Why don't you just rest, and we'll pray tomorrow. See, where are you getting that information from? Where's that discussion coming from? Where's that idea coming from? My dog, who's completely a dog, will walk and go do whatever he wants because he doesn't second guess his steps. He goes by who he is. Well, the reason you are struggling and I struggle with areas is because we have two voices. Who we are, the child of God, the inner man that's alive, but we're wearing the body of an outward man that is left over from our first birth. In the end, we'll receive a new outward body and we'll be completely light. There'll be nothing left of us from Adam, from our family. But until then, it's our job to take the voice, to take the opinions, even the good opinions of the outward man, and every day make it a living sacrifice and say, you are going to serve God. And the reason why we preach so much about praying in tongues, and fasting, and worship, and meditate in the Word of God, because these are things that cause your inner man to grow in the knowledge of God. That's the renewing of your mind. The inner man's mind gets rebuilt with knowledge of light. So then you can mortify the voice of the outward man. So whatever you're struggling with, struggle with it. Fight it. Resist it. Deny it. If you fail, repent and do it again. But don't just live there, because you'll give up. Also, transform. So that voice of the flesh finally gets put to death, where it no longer speaks to you anymore. Do not be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I saw that girl, and the way the Lord showed me was he showed me her natural body. He said, I didn't tell my church, my children, to be conformed into Christianity. She was trying her best to act like a Christian. That's who she wanted to live like. But there was something working her, trying to pull her another way, and that was the outward man, the flesh, the desires and deeds of the outward man, trying to pull her away a different way. And the Lord showed me her, and she leaped from the outward man, she leapt over to the inward man. And that's what the Lord showed me is transformation, is that I live and think and feel out of my inner man. That's where I live. That's what's available to us on this earth, to live that way from our core. That's who we are. And we grow in the knowledge of God. And in the process, we mortify the outward man. And so as we learn more about transformation, I want to encourage you. Don't ever be discouraged with where you are or where you start, because you don't start from, if someone's born at 50 years old, they don't start there. They begin life at, that's their first life. They start life and they must build from there. They must build up from there in the spirit. So many Christians get born again, but they only work with the outward man. And this is the process we're going to discuss. And I'm so excited to share it with you because it's been life-changing for me in understanding the walk that I'm in and where I'm going and how much my Father loves me and how much He sees Himself in me even when I'm not perfect, even when I'm not there yet. He loves me. He loves you. God loves you and He believes in you. And you can overcome everything, but do it the right way. Yes, we start with resisting and denying, but we go further. We go into transformation. I'm going to share much more about what transformation is in the next videos. God bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for spending time with me. See you soon.